Voters in Mexico cast their ballots for president in less than a month. Tomorrow, all five candidates will face off in the second and final televised debate in the campaign. All eyes will be on just two of the candidates, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, the left-leaning former mayor of Mexico City, and conservative Felipe Calderón. Calderón is the candidate of the ruling National Action Party, and López Obrador represents the party of the Democratic Revolution. If you have questions about the elections in Mexico, who the leading candidates are, and what either of their policies might mean for the United States, give us a call, 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email is talk@npr.org. Joining us now from his office in Mexico City is Hector Tobar. He's the Mexico City Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. Nice to have you on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Recent polls show that these two are in a dead heat. So how important is this debate tomorrow night?
Well, it's considered to be the determining event in the campaign. It's going to be something that's going to probably separate the two candidates who are at the top of the polls. And the reason why, one reason why it's so important is that the World Cup starts here on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico plays on Sunday. And everyone sort of agrees, all the political observers agree that after the World Cup starts, people aren't just going to pay any attention to the campaign anymore. And, you know, basically, the race should be frozen until the July 2nd election.
So opinions are going to be formed in the next couple of days. After that, people are going to be watching soccer.
Yeah, you know, soccer is a national obsession here. A lot of people's sense of national identity is tied up with the Mexican national soccer team, and it's going to just saturate the airwaves, and people will probably have little time to discuss anything else, not even the future of the country.
Well, while they're still thinking about it, then, what's the main issue in the election?
Well, the issue, as it was in the American election a few elections back, is the economy. It's poverty and unemployment, and also the stability of the economy. López Obrador is running as the candidate who can bring jobs to Mexico, who can address the unemployment that leads so many, you know, millions of Mexicans to go to the United States, while Calderón is running as the candidate of fiscal responsibility, as a continuation of the policies of President Vicente Fox, who brought to Mexico 6 years of relative stability without inflation, without devaluations, etc.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned there are two parties. Up until Mr. Fox won election 6 years ago, Mexico had been ruled, I think, forever by the PRI. What's happened to them?
Well, that's actually been really the great sort of understory of this election, is that the candidate of the ruling PRI of the Revolutionary Institutional Party, which ruled Mexico for so long, that candidate has been so mired in corruption charges that he's sort of fallen off the radar screen. He's 10 points behind in some polls and is really considered a non-factor. What people are looking at is to see which of the two other candidates the PRI voters will choose.
Mm-hmm. Immigration, obviously a huge issue in this country. What does either candidate say? Are their policies different?
Well, you know, immigration is sort of another one of those stories that's under the current here in Mexico, because people sort of are informed about what's happening in the United States, the different proposals that are being debated by the Senate and the House of Representatives. But at the same time, there isn't really anything that sort of a Mexican candidate has put forward as a proposal to sort of change the basic reality of what's happening in the United States. Here, people talk about what can we do to address this unemployment that leads so many of our people, you know, to leave for the United States. And Calderón is the only one sort of talking about perhaps, you know, cooperating a little bit with the United States on border security issues.
Mm-hmm. There has been a trend in Latin American and South American politics of late for leftist leaders, and a lot of people would say Mr. López Obrador would certainly be in that camp.
Oh, yes. I think that if López Obrador wins the election, and he does stand a good chance, he was the favorite until recently, it would be another blow to American foreign policy, that foreign policy which over the last 20 years sought to support free market economics in Latin America. Now almost every major country in the region, with one or two exceptions, has elected a populist leader or a leftist leader who has spoken out against those policies, spoken out against privatization, spoken out against opening Latin American markets to the United States. And López Obrador is definitely a leader in that mold.
Mm. There are very strong class distinctions in Mexico. And in some of the articles you wrote about this campaign, you described, you used two words that I'm not too familiar with, nacos and piruris. Explain what those mean.
Yeah, those are two words that are on opposite ends of the class divide here in Mexico. A naco is what a rich person or a person of culture calls a poor person, someone who's not educated. It's sort of the equivalent of rube in English. So the Calderón supporters will say in emails trying to build up support for their candidate that López Obrador is the candidate of the nacos, you know, of the poor people, the simple people, the shoeshine boys, the people who don't know any better. And López Obrador supporters will say that Calderón, the conservative candidate, is the candidate of the piruris. A piruri is one of those rare words in Spanish that has two double R's in it, so you have to trill the R twice.
Which is why I couldn't and you can.
Right. A piruri is basically a filthy rich person, someone who looks down their nose at everyone and considers themselves to be a child of privilege and doesn't understand why all these poor people want to vote for López Obrador. So there's a very, very strong class divide in this election, perhaps more than in any election in a century in Mexico. And the battle is for the middle. It's for the lower middle class, for the middle class, to those voters who sort of could swing either way.
Let's get a caller in on this. Alex. Alex joins us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Yes, sir. I believe that corruption is so spread out that it's actually preventing the people from, succeeding. And that's one of the reasons why I'm a Mexican-American. I came to this country when I was 13 years old. I was born in L.A., and I was raised in L.A. And it's very difficult for a Mexican to actually succeed, and to get a better life down in Mexico. That's one of the main reasons why families move up here. And corruption down there is amazing. That it just forces people to look for more opportunities, because down there, either if you don't have friends, you'll be basically left out. You won't be able to move further.
And Alex, do you see either of these two leading candidates doing anything substantial about corruption?
Yes, but I'm afraid that either one, it's just like just choosing the lesser of two evils, because you never know which candidate is actually going to, come through with those promises that they're talking about. And just like you've probably heard of Colosio that got murdered in front of all these thousands of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just basically whoever wants to get rid of corruption gets taken out by, either narco-traffickers, the government itself, and just lies everywhere. With the last president, Salinas, they basically ruined Mexico. It just, with the drop of the Mexican, the peso, it's just amazing. It devastated a whole bunch of people, and it's just amazing how corruption is forcing people to move to a different country.
Hector Tobar, is corruption an issue in the campaign?
Oh, definitely. I think that that very malaise that your caller describes with corruption in Mexico, with the political establishment, it was what really was feeding López Obrador's candidacy early on. Even as late as March, he had a 12-point lead in the polls because he was seen as an outsider, seen as someone incorruptible, even though a couple of his close followers got involved in a corruption scandal. But he himself was seen as a very austere, honest leader.
Now, this after being mayor of Mexico City.
And who had accomplished several important things for the poor, a subsidy for seniors, for single mothers. And he was seen as a hope for a lot of poor people, and a lot of middle-class people also saw him as a competent administrator. But what happened in the last couple of months of the campaign was that Felipe Calderón launched an American-style advertising blitz, basically playing on the fears that many people have that López Obrador will pay for these programs for the poor by bankrupting Mexico. So there's that sense among a lot of middle-class people that this is the guy, López Obrador, who will come in, help the poor. His slogan is, for the good of Mexico, first the poor. And in doing that, will bankrupt the country and bring back inflation. And so that has really eaten away at his lead. So Mexico is sort of in between those two plans, those two visions of its future, between a hope for the future that sees helping the poor and one that says, let's keep the little stability we have already.
Mm-hmm. Alex, thanks very much.
If I may get another comment, may I?
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes. Also, with the debate of immigration in the United States, Mexican and the United States faith is basically intertwined. And why doesn't the United States just force Mexico, or in a way help it, so more jobs? jobs are created down there. I know the companies are moving down to Mexico, but the wages is it's just kind of keeping them at a level that they can they can't really, you know, get ahead.
All right, Alex, a question for a show about relations between the United States and Mexico. We're trying to focus on the Mexican election at the moment, but thanks very much for that. But clearly, relations with the United States, Hector Tobar, has to be, foreign policy question number one.
Oh, it is definitely. And I think most Mexicans would like to elect someone who's going to be a strong leader vis-a-vis the United States, someone who looks like he belongs in the same room as George W. Bush when he has to sit in Washington or wherever it is the two leaders meet. You know, I think that most Mexicans realize there's very little that their leaders can do vis-a-vis American immigration policy, but they do expect, at the very least, that their leaders put up a good front, a good show for the voters back home.
Hector Tobar, thanks very much for being with us. Enjoy the debate and good luck for Mexico in the tournament.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hector Tobar, Mexico City Bureau Chief for the Los Angeles Times. He's also the author of Translation Nation, Defining a New American Identity in the Spanish-Speaking United States. And he joined us today from his office in Mexico City. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.